Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Timelapse Prime. Flights have resumed after the FAA's from taking off for a couple of hours in the USA early Wednesday morning.
I don't know whether it was a simple mechanical failure, something, you know, in the computer, internal workings, a software problem, hacking.
Former FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt on MSNBC Wednesday morning.
There are some backup capabilities, but your worst nightmare is when the primary system fails and the secondary system doesn't take over.
Notice to air missions system was the failure. Expect delays to ripple throughout the day at U.S. airports. The revelation that top secret documents were found in President Biden's possession comes as a surprise to the big guy. Representative James Comer on Fox News last night says Biden's top-secret documents contain papers on Ukraine, where Biden demanded an investigator in that country be fired for investigating his son's position on the board of a major energy company based in Kyiv.
To get more transparency with what really went on with Ukraine, now we find out the documents that Joe Biden had that were classified, some of them pertain to Ukraine.
Representative Comer says mainstream media is covering up Biden's behavior.
Check and balance on corruption in the past with past presidents, but they've turned a blind eye to Joe Biden and they defended Joe Biden.
When joining the U.S. military, you'll get six vaccination shots. Measles, mumps, diphtheria, fluvicillin, rubella, and smallpox. The COVID-19 vaccine requirement was dropped on Tuesday, but will still be offered to those signing up for service. President Biden speaks in Mexico during the North American Leaders Summit this week.
And together, we've made enormous progress since our last summit, from fighting COVID-19 and strengthening our ability to address public health threats.
According to the Mega Millions website, the jackpot will reach an estimated $1.35 billion for Friday night's drawing. Thanks for listening. We are USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind in paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Ukrainian soldiers will be coming to the United States to train. Victoria Idoni reports.
Pentagon spokesman Brigadier General Pat Ryder announced the training program will take place at Fort Sill in Oklahoma.
The training will prepare approximately 90 to 100 Ukrainian soldiers to operate, maintain, and sustain the defensive system over a training course expected to last several months.
The USA has trained Ukrainian troops in Europe, but the decision to conduct training on American soil could increase tensions with Moscow. Last week, the Biden administration announced its largest aid package to Ukraine since the war began, at $2.85 billion worth of equipment. In Washington, I'm Victoria Idoni.
The United States Navy seized more than 2,000 assault rifles after stopping a suspected smuggling vessel on its way from Iran to Yemen. Last Friday's event took place when the USS Chinook deployed a boarding team to the vessel in the Gulf of Oman with support from the USS Monsoon and the USS Sullivans. A new study on COVID-19 efficacy is out. John Schaefer has more.
A study coming out of Massachusetts General Hospital found that some COVID booster shots could be effective for up to 12 months, but it all depends on which booster you got. Researchers found the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine boosters were effective in healthy people for about a year, but if you got the Johnson & Johnson shot, you're only protected for about 4 months. I'm John Schaefer.
I'm Lance Prime, USA News.
This is a potter's field. When people can't pay for their funerals, they are buried here. It is a lonely, desolate place, littered with unmarked headstones. No one visits. No one leaves flowers. But it doesn't have to be that way. For as low as $1 a day, you can ensure your family will have the money to pay your funeral expenses. We offer burial insurance plans that pay up to $30,000. Considering the average funeral costs more than $10,000, that's peace of mind for your family. There are no medical exams, your rates won't increase, and your policy cannot be canceled as long as you make your premium payments. Call now to get approved in minutes and ensure your final resting place is more than just a pauper's grave in a potter's field.
800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. That's 800-562-2407. Paid for by Final Expense Direct.
On track. Bill Martinez live.
And of course, you know, it wasn't going to be easy as we continue that good fight. Thank you so much for joining in, being part of the solution instead of adding to the problem. And a problem maker's around as it is, you know that. I'm Bill Martinez, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Stephen Bonnet is with us. He is the executive senior editor at the New American Magazine. He writes on economics, foreign affairs, and American politics just for fun, because he just likes doing that, right, Stephen?
That's right. I'm a fun-loving kind of person.
Well, good. Well, this is a fun-loving kind of hour that we have here, so I appreciate you joining in as the waters are warm and at the perfect height, so it's good fun. All right, let's talk about, you know, what happened at the House. I mean, boy, I'll tell you, the propagandized government-controlled media was totally, you know, with gray matter and their heads exploding. It was just such a mess over, you know, the fact that it took 15 rounds to elect a speaker, but they missed so much. They were just getting involved in the hyperbolic nature of it instead of realizing the value that these 20, you know, Republicans, congressmen and congresswomen, you know, what they were standing for and what they did, the favor that they did to, for their fellow constituents in this process, didn't they?
No, absolutely. I think it's a very positive development. And, you know, it's hard to see the downside to this. Now, of course, I mean, the cynics are already pointing out that there's not a whole lot concrete that the new Congress would be able to achieve, given the obvious blockades in the Senate and, you know, the Oval Office. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's of course, the pragmatic reality. However, that said, I mean, for example, they're planning to vote to abolish the IRS, for example. That was one of the things that I guess they either got McCarthy to agree to, or it's something that's emerged very quickly
right.
with this new Congress. And yeah, that ain't happening right away. But the mere fact that they're going to vote on it is absolutely unprecedented and extraordinary. And it does set a certain precedent that if you vote on it once, you can vote on it again, you know. Right. And if they do manage to, you know, and by they, I mean a sufficiently constitutionally minded portion of the GOP, win back or enlarge their power in the Senate in 2024 and perhaps even get the White House back. I don't know, you know, whatever. The politics, or if the stars are in proper alignment, you know, we could see another vote on that or something
exactly.
like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, I mean, that's just one example. And many of the other things, a lot of the other things that are procedural. First of all, the thing, you know, that, for example, the allowing one person to vote in the majority party to trigger a vote,
right.
the motion to trigger a vote for vacate the chair of mm-hmm. the Speaker of the House. You know, this is something that was in force anyway up until 2019. It's only been a few years. We haven't had this provision.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah, well, Nancy Pelosi being the power maniac that she was, heck, you know, let's get that out of there, you know, and because she was scared that her radical wing of her party, you know, could you know, offer up a vote of no confidence at every turn, right?
Oh, sure, absolutely. I think that was the motivation because, of course, she saw what happened to John Boehner in 2015. It was precisely that provision mm-hmm. that allowed the insurgent, you know, Freedom Caucus people, who even 7-8 years ago in 2015 were already, you know, kind of a new thing under the sun. They were really wielding power that we'd never seen before, at least not in living memory in the mm-hmm. House. People, you know, a whole block of people like this. And they told Boehner, either you resign or we're going to do this and mm-hmm. you're going to be voted out. And so he resigned. And at that time, of course, McCarthy hoped to take his place, but he was kind of jockeyed out of, you know, outmaneuvered, and Paul Ryan ended up being, you know, his replacement, and he wasn't really any better. So, right. I mean, I don't harbor any illusions about what McCarthy would be like if left untrammeled by these kinds of things. But, you know, at this point, they're really going to be able to hold his feet to the fire, and he has shown to his, you know, limited credit, you know, yeah. he has shown a willingness to follow through on the promises made. Another really, really significant thing that's come of this, I don't know if people fully appreciate just how, you know, unexampled this is that you have a bunch of these people, Freedom Caucus people, are now going to be elevated to not just, you know, to have nice seats on important committees like the Rules Committee.
Yeah, they're going to be chairs.
Total nine. Yeah, well, part of the bargain is that three of the total nine seats, GOP seats on the Rules Committee, will be taken by Freedom Caucus members.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. what's more, Jim Jordan, who's one of the staunchest of the bunch, he's going to be the head of the Judiciary Committee,
right.
which is a very powerful position. So mm-hmm. this is amazing. I mean, just to put this in perspective, I mean, these, you know, 20 years ago, you had one or two lone voices crying in the wilderness,
right.
you know, Ron Paul probably most prominently, and he was always laughed off, and, you know, he's the conscience of Capitol Hill, but people would chuckle indulgently and basically ignore him because he didn't have any clout. No one else backed him up. And now we've got 30, 40, you know, Ron Paul mini-me's, including some like Thomas Massie, who, for whatever reasons, you know, were not actually part of the 20 that were holding out against McCarthy. So it's actually more than 20. I mean, it's a
right.
significant number of people who are there. A lot of them are real mean. I mean, they're not going to back down and be intimidated and play the nice guy game that Republicans do. And this bodes very well for the future, I think.
Yeah, what you're saying here, Steve, and I agree with you, is that it probably enlivened a backbone for some of these people. Because when you're used to going along to get along, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, that's right, I'm here to represent my constituents. I don't need to, you know, just check in my vote with everybody else before the ink is dried on a bill, a 4,000-page bill that they drop in at dark at night, and I've got a couple hours to read it and vote on it, and I don't need to do that anymore. I can, I can actually do what the people sent me to Washington, D.C. to do. And, boy, I'll tell you, that's quite liberating. You got to think. I got to think for these congressmen, and I think for anybody that represents the, you know, we the people, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, hearkening back, I don't know how many of your listeners remember back to the not so good old days of the 1990s, but back in the 90s, you know, we had that first great, you know, there was the 1994 elections. The Republicans surged into power and control of both houses of Congress for the first time since the 1950s or something
yes,
like
right,
that.
Huh?
And it was the beginning of a new era. And Newt Gingrich was this, you know, this angry young man. It turned out that the Republicans, you know, were as they've always been. You know, it was the party of the nice guys. And so before long, in the colorful vernacular of the day, we heard the likes of Jim Carville and other people, you know, saying on the record, oh, we need to do is turn up the heat a little bit, and then we'll roll them. That was what they said. You know, we rolled them again, you know.
Yes.
And they learned that all you need to do is bluster and bluff and make a stink in the media, and the Republicans would back off of their more, you know, so-called extreme proposals. And actually, some of the proposals at that time weren't very good anyway. I mean, that, you know. But in any event, you know, and so, the Democrats have always been knife fighters because they are, you know, as a party, they are passionately committed to the principle of power politics. They love power, and they understand what it takes to get it and to maintain it. Whereas a fair proportion of Republicans, not all of them, but a fair proportion, they go to Washington with these ideals about, you know, reducing government, listening to their constituents, and all this type of thing. And a lot of them tend to be nice, decent types, and they're not knife fighters. And now
right.
We've got some people that are really pretty, you know, I think are willing to go toe-to-toe with the Democrats. And, you know, unfortunate is to say that. I mean, that's kind of what's going to be necessary.
You're exactly right. We've got to go to a quick break. We've got more from Stephen Bonta, the executive senior editor for the New American Magazine. Stay with us.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your healthcare costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Like that, we're back with you 19 minutes after the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. Stephen Bonta, the executive senior editor with the New American Magazine, who writes on economics, foreign affairs, and American politics, So the bottom line, Stephen, of this House Speaker saga, the House rules that just passed, what was it, on Monday night, I think these are all positive signs. I agree with you.
Well, I think the bottom line is that we're looking at finally some of the fruits of literally a decades-long effort to educate the electorate. I mean, if you look at the mess we're in, there are basically two ways to look at it. One is to say, well, we need a fix now, and it's got to be simple, and it's got to be quick. And so people in that mindset insist that we need a constitutional convention to rewrite the Constitution, or barring that, you know, elect some sort of a knight on a white charger, you know, as president that can come in and heal all our problems. And, you know, we have said at the New American, literally for decades, that the key is educating people. Educating
without a doubt.
People about the Constitution and, and limited government and all that. And that's, I mean, that's slow. And it takes time. I mean, we didn't get into this mess in 1 year or even 10 years, and it's going to take time to get out of it. But what we're seeing now, I think, are the fruits of a much better educated electorate.
Exactly.
And, you know, so we're seeing things that would not have been possible 20 years ago. And if 20 or 30 or 40 of these types of people, these Freedom Caucus types, can affect this much change, imagine what will happen when we get 100 or 150 or 200 of them in the House, let alone the Senate.
Well, it's kind of like when you go to a bar, you know, they give you pretzels, right? And why do they give you pretzels? So that your thirst, you know, for more beer or whatever beverage you're drinking, right? And where we are right now is we've got to hand out more pretzels to the American people to make them thirst for knowledge. You got a little taste of it, but we got to keep, you're exactly right. We've got to keep that energy and that focus and that momentum going, because we're fighting headwinds, Stephen, because for so many decades, there's been the dumbing down of America. And as socialism continues to creep into every aspect of our government, the underlying principle of socialism is mediocrity. That's the result of socialism. And that's an anathema to people who have enjoyed freedom. Because when you are free, you understand and you appreciate. I mean, you're happier because you're able to exercise the giftings and talents that God has blessed you with, and go out there and be productive. And that's when people are happiest, is when they are productive, doing and exercising their God-given skills. And when they're blunted and told, well, no, there is a ceiling. I mean, you heard Hillary Clinton for many years talking about the glass ceiling for women. Well, there's been a ceiling that's been imposed upon the American people, brought to you, I got to tell you straight out, by the Democratic Party. They want us to be dumbed down. They want us to be mediocre. And that's why they couldn't stand Donald Trump for 4 years, because people were getting a good taste of what it was like to be free and to be great and to be exceptional. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, well, I assume that's not a rhetorical question. I mean, the thing is, people also confuse freedom with license, and they say, in effect, well, you know, you should be able to do anything you want, and that's freedom. Mm. And, of course, that's not quite what we mean by freedom.
No.
Although, you know, I think probably in the past it may be true that a lot of people, you know, the Republican side may have erred in the sense of being too restrictive and so forth. But you know, I mean, that's the genius of federalism, is that
yes.
states and can experiment for themselves and find out, you know, just exactly, you know, what is the right level of freedom, you know, things like drug laws and all this type of thing that people go back and forth on. But,
right.
But you know, to the point, I mean, right now, I mean, I fear that it's easy to become complacent. Again, I think a lot of people who elected Trump in 2016 sort of says, well, now, you know, our troubles are over. Well, they've discovered that the deep state is a lot more powerful than they thought. And he stole our president away. You know?
Right.
And they will never, ever allow him to get elected again. I'll predict that right now. There's no way that, you know, under the current circumstances, that Donald Trump will ever become president again, because it's too easy for them to control the outcome of, you know, of the election. I mean, they kind of they were so convinced and so smug in the certainty that they had gotten Hillary elected that they kind of, you know, were off their game for a little bit.
Right.
But we didn't see that in 2020, did we? Okay. And
I don't know how they could have missed it. Stephen, because it was so obvious. I mean, you got the president of Google all but in tears telling his people this will never happen again. Donald Trump will not get. I mean, he made the big pronouncement. Here is a social media oligarch laying out, you know, the mission for all the other social media operatives to make sure that Donald Trump did not get elected. And they were all in to do everything they could to interfere. And you talk about voter suppression. I don't want to hear Democrats talking about voter suppression, because this was the biggest effort of voter suppression, I believe, in the history of American politics.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, you know, we may hopefully learn a little bit more about that at this new committee, this sort of neo-church committee that's been is going to be set up in the House, a special committee to investigate the malign influence of the Department of Justice and so forth, and their incestuous relationship with big media and the way that, you know, this kind of all that stuff is supposedly going to come out. But, you know, I mean, the thing is, we've kind of always maintained here that the House is key for a couple of reasons. Number one, the House, at least in theory, under the Constitution, holds the purse strings. So, you know, even limited as their power is right now, the House can, if they're really resolute, they can defund stuff.
Yes.
You know, including the IRS. They don't have to, you know, proactively pass a bill. They can simply refuse to fund something.
Exactly.
And then and ultimately, if they stick to their guns, you know, the media and the government can scream all they want about the poor furloughed federal employees and how they're, you know, they're starving and whatnot. But ultimately, you know, if they don't fund it, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is, you know, the House is most numerous. And so it's really, really hard, although perhaps in this, you know, in this day of internet technology and so forth, not impossible, but very difficult for them to control the outcome of all the House races.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And number three, of course, the House is designed to be the most responsive to the people themselves. You know, it's easier to influence, you know, for good, mm-hmm. a House race because you're dealing with a relatively small number of people. You know, local issues, this kind of thing. It's much, much harder to do that with a Senate race and obviously with the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are pretty much that's pretty much the lane of the establishment at this point. That's their wheelhouse. That's what
exactly.
they do. So the House is key. And also I would add to that, you know, at the state level, the state legislatures are key as well. And, one thing that I don't think is necessarily going to come out of this is electoral reform unless it happens at the state level. You know, states like Pennsylvania and Arizona, they gotta solve this problem for themselves. So that's, you know, so I guess what I would say is encapsulating this is that we shouldn't rest on our laurels and say,
exactly. No. No, like you said, you know, Democrats, you know, they know how to fight and they're aggressive. They're fighting for their very lives. Republicans are just not that committed. And they have to realize that this is a force, you know, like any other energy force, like the force of gravity. This is where the Democrats operate. And you cannot take that for granted. It is always existing and it is pervasive. And there has to be that type of intentionality that is brought into the Republican Party, that they're serious. Because this is amazing to me when you look back, Steve, on, you know, these different elections and how the Republican Party was asleep at the wheel in allowing, you know, for example, in 2020 to allow 500 Democratic attorneys to go and storm these state houses and change voting laws. And so we're starting to hear the music now, so we're down to about 50 seconds left here. But, you know, it's amazing to me that Republicans were not more proactive to see what was going on and allow these Democratic operatives to change the laws on the fly in, you know, for the 2020 election. It's no wonder we got what we got.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, unfortunately, it requires those of us on the so-called right to be more vigilant and maybe cast off some of our illusions about the good intentions of people on the other side.
No, you're exactly well, because as my old mentor used to say, is it's all about the bottom line. Your charm can only take you so far. What have you done? What have you accomplished? Right? And you know, and as you suggested earlier, you know, it comes down to a situation that experience defines preference. How much more experience do we need, you know, to coalesce our preference in such a way so that we know that we know? Thank you very much, Stephen Bonta. Appreciate it.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
USA News Update. The revelation that top-secret documents were found in President Biden's possession comes as a surprise to the big guy. Representative James Comer on Fox News last night says Biden's top-secret documents contain papers on Ukraine, where Biden demanded an investigator in that country be fired for investigating his son's position at the board of a major energy company based in Kyiv.
That Joe Biden had that were classified, some of them pertain to Ukraine. I mean, there's so many questions here. Normally, the mainstream media served as a check and balance on corruption in the past with past presidents, but they turned a blind eye.
California storms are set to refocus across Northern California today as heavy rains continue across much of the state, filling up reservoirs north and south. California Governor Gavin Newsom said the death toll from weeks of storms is 17. The U.S. military has dropped its COVID-19 vaccine requirement, but will still offer the shot. Lance Pry, USA News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
No doubt that the transition from fossil fuels to sustainable energy is what we're told it's supposed to be, that this has just been a bit of a, kind of a messed up project, so to speak, I might say, because this is not the way you transition. You know, that you just determine one day, okay, we're going to cut all fossil fuels, we're going to cut, you know, our energy sector and move into an alternate form of energy when the infrastructure for this alternate form isn't even up and ready and sustainable to manage and replace what's currently in existence. I mean, this is the deal, like we were saying earlier, experience defines preference, but this is the kind of, you know, painful experience that we've gone through, and there's only one person you can look to in terms of who's mismanaging, you know, this popcorn operation here. All right, the Energy and Oil Gas Law Partner at Hunton Andrews in Kurth is here to talk about the challenges facing the transition to alternate energy. Alexander Chowinski joins us now. Alexander, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Well, help us understand what is going on here and why are we enduring this pain that I believe could have been avoidable?
Well, you know, it is a complex picture, but I will say that notwithstanding all the pressures that you see politically and otherwise against fossil fuels, the market's invisible hand has a tendency to come back and allocate what's most efficient. And it's clear that oil and gas have been making a comeback in the last year, notwithstanding all the pressures against it. Now, the question becomes, is it enough of a comeback to actually meet all the world's demand needs over time and not jack up prices because of scarcity, particularly when there may be disincentives to investment.
Exactly.
And then the other question is, will renewables be sufficiently resilient to catch up on the slack? And that, you know, renewables have made tremendous progress, but there's still a lot of issues remain to be worked out.
Okay, give me an understanding in terms of the ratio, renewable energy versus oil and gas. Where are we at right now?
Well, renewables constitute right now in the United States, in terms of our energy generation mix, approximately 25%.
That high?
That's high. Yes. It used to be, if you went back 15 years, it used to be up less than 10. So
right.
Growth has been significant. And there are a number of factors for that growth. By the way, a part of that is hydropower. We've had hydropower for a long time, you know, the Hoover Dam and things like that. But wind and solar have been growing tremendously as shares, while hydro has kind of been kept even. Wind has grown about 300% in the last 10 years, and solar started very small, but now has risen exponentially. It's still a small fraction, but it's growing rapidly. In fact, I would say about three-quarters of all the new power generation that's coming in is likely some form of wind or solar.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, all right, go ahead.
No, I would say it's a tremendous transition that's happening not just in the United States but also worldwide. You're seeing countries in economic engines like China and India push significantly to renewables in large measure because their economies are now driven by coal. Coal generates more than 50% of their electric power, and their demand needs are enormous.
Right.
So they are looking at all sorts of different sources to mitigate some of the high emissions produced by coal, while at the same time keeping a diverse energy mix.
Alex, as you look out, I mean, you're an expert in this, and you've studied this, obviously. Do you ever see any country getting to the point to where renewables represent more than 50% of the output?
Well, there are some countries that have gone there and have already achieved that. Now, of course, some of them are smaller countries. And so their needs are not as extensive or diverse as those in the United States. So there are reasons why it works for them. In some countries like Brazil, hydropower is huge. And hydropower, because of, they've been invested significantly in hydropower, and so most of their renewable power comes from that. But it is conceivable that as time goes on and technology improves, that renewables become an even greater share of the power sources for industrialized countries. The issue is going to be, can you work renewables into the grid in such a way that, you actually have sufficient transmission capacity to take on all of that? And secondly, and most importantly, what do you do about the intermittent nature of the resource?
Right, exactly.
What do you do when peak demand hits, when the sun doesn't shine or the wind doesn't blow? And there are technologies that are emerging to deal with that, but, just like anything, it takes a while for those technologies to mature.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other concern that I have here, and I don't know about you, Alex, is that I have no confidence, or let's just say little confidence, that our government can handle something this enormous, project capacity that's required. They've already demonstrated such ineptness that this should be, I would have more confidence if this was being done in the free market, where you had, the free market competing to do this. I think it would be a lot more expedited and a lot more efficient as opposed to a government interfering with this process.
I think that the issue with government is how it involves itself, right? Mm. On the one hand, there's a need for basic regulation, but that can also become significant red tape, right? I'll give you an example. There's a lot of interest and a lot of private investment in renewables, but many of these projects, about a capacity level of about twice what's currently online, is waiting to get online in terms of, you know, proposals and development plans, because there isn't enough throughput to get them interconnected in terms of the entities that oversee interconnection in the various regions of the United States. And of course, there are regulatory issues associated with that. So the private sector is actually wanting to invest in this technology because it's finally come to the point where it's cheap to actually produce energy using wind and solar. The problem is that there are holdups with respect to the wholesale markets, some of which can be, you know, traced to, you know, government oversight that is holding that back. And so there are some initiatives that are attempting to see how that can be streamlined. But as you know, that's always a difficult thing to get bureaucracies to streamline their operation. So there's also the issue of tax credits. Are tax credits providing a public good, or are they distorting price signals in a market in terms of, you know, what's the most efficient resource? So there are questions that, you know, economists do debate about when it comes to that.
Well, I think part of the problem, and I sound a bit cynical, and it's just that every time I see the bureaucracy getting involved here, you know, I keep hearing Ronald Reagan, his quote, "I'm here from the government and I'm here to help." Not really, because you see, the government's agenda and their objective is different. You know, you and I think in terms of delivery, bottom line production. The government thinks in terms of, and the bureaucracy thinks in terms of power and control. So those are, you know, those are mutually exclusive, and they can't cohabitate. And this is where the clash comes time and time again. And again, I know that sounds rather cynical, but that's based on experience. And I got to tell you, I am confident, Alex, that if this was turned over totally to free market, you got the government out of the way, I think that the aims, if you really wanted to, you know, be more renewably focused and to really make the transition, we could do it more expediently and more efficiently by relying on the free enterprise system and the free markets as opposed to the government, and getting them, you know, doing everything we can to minimize their interference, as you mentioned earlier. That's just my humble opinion.
Well, I think there's a lot to be said for that, because when you look at the recent administration's push to basically sideline oil and gas production.
Alex, forgive me. We only got about 10 seconds left here. Let's go to break. We'll pick it up from there. More from Alex Chewinski after this. Stay with us.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the Home Security Hotline right now.
800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. That's 800-755-7921.
Every day we invest in what matters to us, from coffee to a stick of gum to drive-through. Netflix or iTunes, Amazon Prime, they bring us a sense of joy and value to our lives. It also matters that we have a country to save and the next generation to protect. Bill Martinez Live has been increasingly targeted for canceling by a culture that doesn't want to hear the truth. And advertisers who have traditionally supported this show have been compelled not to advertise. As a result, we're turning to you, our faithful audience. Would you partner with Bill Martinez Live this coming year? Your return on investment is unique, in-depth analysis of the cultural issues that matter most. Issues of faith, movies, entertainment, geared to expand your awareness and motivate you to go deeper into these important topics so you can own your knowledge and exercise your critical thinking in order to bring reason back to the public square. Your one-time gift of $100 underwrites a half hour of BML Live. A $200 gift, an hour. 24 hours of Bill Martinez Live would be a $2,400 gift. Perhaps you'll join with Bill every month and opt in with $100 per month. What's your best gift in helping Bill influence the next generation with logic, reason, and a love for our country? Every gift, your gift of any size, matters. Visit BillMartinezShow.com to gift. BillMartinezShow.com, and thank you.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Right here, right now, Bill Martinez.
Back with you 14 minutes before the top of the hour. We're talking with Alexander Chwinski. He's the energy and oil gas law partner at Hunton Andrews Kurth. You know, breaking it down, I mean, let's get real, let's get honest about our energy, this whole situation. We have the Biden administration doing everything they can to interfere, I say, and also discourage energy production in terms of fossil fuels, and then they wonder why, the oil and gas manufacturers are not all that user-friendly. Well, it's kind of hard when you're, kicking them in the teeth and then saying, hey, we need your help, out of the other side of your mouth. I mean, these are mixed signals. And, of course, for people that invest, I mean, Alex, this isn't some sort of light investment that I can pull the money out of my penny loafers and turn over. I mean, we're talking billions of dollars that are involved here to open up some of these energy sectors. And when we are dissuading people from investing and getting involved, I mean, we're really putting ourselves behind the eight ball, because if there's going to be some new avenues, which I believe are going to be necessary down the road, I mean, we're losing time here, because this doesn't happen overnight. This is something that in some cases will take 5 to 10 years to really realize the benefit of the investment, right?
Well, that's a fabulous point, Bill, because what people, who are not in the industry, they don't see the investment that goes in on the back end and how long it takes to recover that investment. When you do offshore drilling, for example, you're spending hundreds of millions of dollars with very sophisticated equipment to drill holes in the ocean subfloor. And you're lucky if you hit anything. You can have the best seismic data and still drill a dry hole, and then you wasted, hundreds of millions. But on the whole, it's a portfolio strategy. You spend X amount, and if you hit one or two, then you hit it. You basically have enough there to recover. But that recovery takes decades. Once you have exploration, you have hundreds of millions and billions of dollars of development costs that take several years to accumulate and then to lead to final development and commissioning. And then you have 30 years of production that you need to recover all those costs and actually make a profit.
Right.
So, people don't realize the sheer capital cost, of these projects. And, you know, it's an interesting thing because even though they're capital intensive, in many developing countries where that are natural resource rich but otherwise poor, oil and gas projects provide a significant avenue to development. It's interesting that in most recent OECD countries, as you've noted, their governments have been trying to push away from oil and gas. But that's led to some protests. In fact, the vice president of Nigeria, which is a major oil producing country, wrote an article in Foreign Affairs about a year or so ago, basically excoriating OECD governments for pushing policies that will not benefit the people of his country and other parts of Africa. So people don't realize the benefits of what oil and gas and hydrocarbon energy can provide, especially now with modern technology. It's not like you're contaminating the environment. The shift from coal to gas, to natural gas, is what's making the overall carbon and greenhouse emissions of the U.S. and the EU go down.
Yeah,
they're not going up. They're actually going down. It's China and India who are producing increasingly more. So gas is actually part of the solution. And that's not to say that renewables don't have an important role. In fact, they do. But they have to work together. They can work symbiotically and
Amen.
Do it in an environmentally friendly way.
Exactly. But that requires leadership. And it requires someone or, you know, an entity with a vision to understand the complexity of it and how to feather this in together to where it's win-win for all concerned. You got to take it out of this, this political power structure that wants to control people. You know, let's do something that works for everybody, that even when China and India sees that it's working so much better, that they start to embrace those policies. Right now, they're just doing the simple thing, and that is that they're just burning it up because they know that what makes the world go round is oil. And so, but, you know, there's a smarter way to do it. And here, I mean, I'll tell you, I was born and raised in California, and I remember the days, Alex, when we would, we'd play baseball and played Legion baseball and American Legion, and we were all over the state. And, whenever we had to leave the coastline, because we were in the coastline of, Port Hueneme, Oxnard area, Ventura County, you know, we could actually breathe in that area. But if you got into LA and in the interior of the states, you know, we would get what you would call a smog cough. Our lungs would be so irritated that, you know, got to a point we'd have to bring oxygen into the dugout so that we could, we could finish the game. That's how bad it was. So the environmentalists put a lot of pressure in the state, and they started to clean things up to where, you know, now it's much improved. So all that to say is that, look, you get the yin and yang effect going on where, you know, environmentalists came in. They did a lot of good to, put pressure on the oil manufacturers. Say, okay, we got to clean up. We got to be more responsible. Automobile industry, everybody got in line, and we have a better environment. We've been improving, but you know, I think that sometimes right now the current mood is to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And I'm saying, look, we can be a lot more reasonable and smarter about this, as opposed to letting somebody who comes in who thinks they know better and wants to play God, because that's the other thing, too, that we're dealing with. I mean, especially in light of what happened in Egypt with that latest, climate change conference that even their golden child said was a fraud, Greta Thunberg, called them out for it. Because basically, again, it's all about power and control. It is not about doing what's right for whether it's America or the citizens of the world.
Well, sure. There are a lot of interests out there that are taking on the bandwagon of, net zero and climate change to affect other objectives, be they an activist investors or whatnot. But I think that at the end of the day, the determination is going to be made by people, regular people, at the gas pump, when they deal with pocketbook issues, when they pay their electricity bill. At some point, if there isn't further investments in a diversified set of energy sources and transmission, by the way, which is very important,
right,
people are going to feel it in their bottom lines.
Yeah.
They're going to feel it in their bank accounts. It's going to be costly. And so I think when people realize how much more power and energy costs with all the additional, you know, diminishing returns we try to squeeze out for environmental benefit, you know, that's going to hurt them. And then they'll have to say, okay, look, we want a clean environment just like everybody else, but we also want to be able to afford this thing and not have to worry about blackouts or not worry about making the rent. So I think the market effectively will, over the long haul, correct itself, assuming there isn't too much interference from the government. Now, that's, of course, we all know that could go wrong.
Right.
But the markets have a way of adjusting themselves. And I think you're going to see that, you know, oil and gas still have a significant role to play. You're already seeing the comeback and the pushback. Renewables are becoming less expensive because of private sector development of technology. And so as you see the technological revolution, private investment in there, you're going to see, you know, greater energy efficiency. It won't necessarily be, you know, the government may play a role. There may be, for example, tax subsidies and tax credits that are involved. I'll give you an example. Now, the most recent Inflation Reduction Act, for all of the, you know, the warts that it may have, has a tax credit for carbon capture technology to be used with natural gas. That makes the carbon capture technology financeable for the development of new projects.
Mm.
So that gives natural gas a much better greenhouse gas profile and keeps it competitive relative to other energy sources, which is a good thing.
Yeah, as opposed to what the Biden administration was trying to do in dissuading banks and other institutions to, in a sense, defund or not give loans to these oil and gas manufacturers.
That's right. There was big pressure on multilateral financing institutions to shun the hydrocarbon industry, and we're starting to see people take a step back from that and say, "Hey, you know, now that you know Russia's you know, invading Ukraine and controlling our pipelines in the EU, we need to find other sources." And they're starting to burn coal.
Yeah, exactly.
Coal is starting to burn coal again. And, of course, they're buying the good news about that is they're buying liquefied natural gas from the U.S., which is driving a huge development push in the Gulf Coast for more LNG facilities. So that's a good thing. And I think, as I said, markets will adjust over time if you let them.
Yes.
And it can result, on the whole, in a cleaner environment.
That's the operative phrase, if you let them. And the you that is not letting them right now is the bureaucracy. And this is where we, the people, need to push back to say, look, you have got to liberate this sector in such a way to where, you know, like you said, it's not a liberation of irresponsibility. I think we've had enough experience with that we just don't want to go into the Wild West and the Wild Frontier and let it run, you know, pell-mell all over the place. Let's, you know, we're a lot smarter than that. And we've got the resources. But the question is, Alex, at least for me, is do we have the leadership?
And I think you're going to find over the long haul that leadership will materialize, because ultimately people are going to, you know, the voters are going to want their politicians to do the right thing. And at some point, either the situation improves or it gets so bad that, you know, people will express their displeasure to ballot box.
Yeah, without a doubt. And we got to quit blaming other people. You know, Putin has gotten so much blame over the last couple of decades. Leave him alone for a while, would you? Set him free. We don't need to be blaming him for everything. Alex Chewinsky has been with us, the energy and oil and gas law partner at Hunt and Andrews Kerr.
First,
thank you.
We decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out?